May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text is our gospel reading from Luke chapter 15. You may be seated. Lost keys when trying to get out the door in the morning. A lost $20 bill that you know was just in your pocket a minute ago. Lost car. You can't remember where you parked. Lost receipt that would turn that tax payment into a tax refund. A lost child in a big crowd. Maybe you've had that experience on either end as the parent or as the child. We've all lost things. We've all even lost people to death. We've all searched for things. Possibly very anxiously, nervously searched until we find whatever it is that went missing, or maybe we just give up. And when we find what it is we're searching for, how do we feel? For me, it's a sense of relief, frustration that I could have been so careless or absent-minded about where I left something. A bit of gladness, joy, relief that the lost thing is found. Our account from the gospel reading begins with these words. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." These religious leaders must have been thinking, why would this supposedly holy man, this Jesus, not associate with them? The holy, righteous, religious leaders of the day in the way that they thought was appropriate. Why waste time with these lowlifes? Not only wasting time, but actually making himself available to them, socializing with them, eating with them, treating them like some sort of long-lost friends. Surely someone righteous can't befriend sinners. These Pharisees would have known that unholiness can't exist in the presence of holiness. No one unholy can be in the presence of God and live. So Jesus tells them two parables about losing and finding. Something is lost and then found. In the first case, a sheep, the shepherd leaving behind the 99 and going to find the lost one. A coin in the second case, losing one of 10. Rejoicing when it is found. The verses in Luke right after today's gospel reading comprise the parable of the prodigal son, a text which we reflected on in Lent this year. A son who is lost, squandering his wealth, abandoning his family, is found again, welcomed home by his father. "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found," and they began to celebrate. The argument that Jesus is making should be fairly obvious. These sinners and tax collectors, the ones the Pharisees are so upset about Jesus being with, these are the lost ones. These are the ones Jesus came to seek and to find. Just as a shepherd looks for a sheep, or a woman looks for a lost coin, shouldn't God be looking for those who are lost and without hope? Those whose sin keeps them separated from God? The obvious answer for the Pharisees and for us should be, of course. God rejoices when a sinner returns to him in repentance. The Pharisees and scribes should have heard these parables and said, yes, God is coming to find what was lost. We read in our Old Testament lesson, the Good Shepherd, the Lord himself, will seek out those wandering and stray sheep and lead them into green pastures. Or as Jesus says in Luke 19, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That God himself, in the person of Jesus, would come seeking to find the lost shouldn't be a surprise. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents, says Jesus. God rejoices over sinners who repent. Do we? Is our desire for those outside the church to be inside the church? Do we desire only a certain kind of people in our churches? Certain color, certain social standing, certain political point of view, certain size bank account? I pray that God would keep us and our entire church from such sin. What about when someone who has wronged us personally in some way returns to us in repentance? Do we let the hurt of the original offense overpower our need to forgive? Do the words of the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," make us cringe a little bit sometimes when we realize how unforgiving we have been? You see, we can have the same problem that the Pharisees had. We may see ourselves as the 99 sheep who were not lost, or the 9 coins that were not lost. We may feel like we don't need finding. We're good enough as we are. We've made it. We don't need any more help. Yet, isn't it interesting that every time we meet together for worship on Sunday morning, we confess our sins? The divine service itself leads us to repentance. Jesus was as concerned for the scribes and Pharisees as he was for the tax collectors and sinners. But the scribes and Pharisees didn't realize their need for him, didn't realize their need for repentance. They figured, we're good enough on our own. We've kept God's law. Actually, we've even made more laws, and so we're even better than that. May it never be so with us. But the opposite problem can also be true. You may feel that you have wandered so far from the Lord that Jesus can't possibly find you. You may feel your sin is so great that Christ's forgiveness isn't for you. That's a lie of the devil. Jesus is always seeking the lost. Our God is ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. As I was thinking about these parables, especially the sheep example, it occurred to me that 1 sheep out of 100, that's just 1%. Jesus asks whether you would leave the 99 out in the open country to look for 1 lost sheep. Wouldn't it make more sense to sort of cut your losses? Don't worry about the lost 1%, but just make sure you take good care of the 99 so you don't wind up losing them too. I mean, a 1% loss in profit, that's not so bad. 1 lost coin out of 10, that's 10%, but not the end of the world. How about just being happy with what's still left? That isn't how God operates. He never cuts his losses. He never gives up on any sinner, but wants to find each one of us. You might even call his desire to find that lost one a little bit extreme. In the parable of the prodigal son, the older son can't believe his father's mercy would extend to someone who's been so faithless, so wasteful, such a bad son. God's mercy just overflows. It's excessive. It covers all our sin. God even wants that person whose life is in shambles, who has dug themselves into some kind of deep hole, he even wants that person to come to repentance and be one of his children. People we may be inclined to give up on, God never does. That one sinner, that one lost sheep, he wants back. No matter how far they've wandered, no matter how much pain they have caused others, God is searching for, seeking, and finding the lost. That's good news for us, because we have a tendency to wander as well. And Jesus calls us back. He looks, he finds, he restores. You see, it is the intensity, that intensity of Jesus that led him to the cross. It was there that the great mercy of God reached its highest point. It is there, Jesus says, that he was drawing all people to himself. It is the cross. It is a beacon of light to those who are lost in darkness. Even from the cross, Jesus was seeking out the lost. You remember the thieves crucified beside him? Both are there. One rejects him, and the other receives paradise. Likewise, in your baptism, God found you and me and made us his dear children. When we wander, when we are like the one lost sheep or the one lost coin, he is searching and finding. We are wallowing in our self-righteousness, thinking how wonderful it is to be part of the 99, then he reminds us again of our need to repent and to receive his forgiveness. We are turned in repentance, and there is rejoicing in heaven every time God hears these words from our lips. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities. Joy before the angels of God, because he has found you. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.